Chapter 2. Childhood. Every day after lunch, people gave me boring jobs to do around the farm. "David, collect the eggs from the chickens," they said. Or, "David, come and help in the dairy." Or, "David, please give the animals some water." When I wanted to play, I hid for 10 minutes until everybody thought I was doing a job for somebody else. Then, when nobody was looking, I went to play far away from the farm buildings. People were always working in the house or on the farm. They only stopped for meals. We didn't have a comfortable living room. There was no time to use it. The only furniture was a table and chairs, and the only paintings on the walls were wooden panels with religious messages on them. Once, before I could read, I asked my father about the messages. "What do the words say?" I asked. "All God's creations must be perfect," he read from one panel. "Avoid the mutant," he said, pointing to another. I didn't ask again, because after he read those messages, my father gave me a lesson on religion. "Remember these words, David. They're an important part of our religion." Then he explained about mutants. "Any abnormal living thing is a mutant and an offence against God." My father was a very religious man. He preached in church and was strict about observing the religious rules at home and on the farm. Once he brought home a two-headed calf. "This is a mutant, an offence. It must die," he announced. Then we all stood and prayed as he took a knife and killed it. I felt very sad when the calf died, but I soon learned not to say anything. When I was very small, I believed my Uncle Axel was a mutant because he had a crippled leg. Uncle Axel was my best friend, and I loved him very much. One day, feeling brave, I asked him about it. "Uncle Axel," I asked in a worried voice, "are you a mutant?"
"No, David," explained Uncle Axel with a smile. "Mutants are born with something wrong. I was born perfectly normal. My crippled leg is the result of an accident, so I am not a mutant." I felt better after that. Plant mutants were also destroyed or burned, but that wasn't sad. Sometimes it was fun.
"Look at this corn, or this vegetable. It isn't like all the others," said Father. "We must destroy it."
Once, an entire field didn't look right. Father burned it to the ground and lost a lot of money because of it. I thought it was a marvelous fire. At school, we learned about human mutants again and again. "They're an offence, a blasphemy against God," our teachers taught us. "They're not permitted to live in normal society." Human mutants were sent to live in the fringes. The farmland there was poor, and it was hard to grow good crops. Sometimes people from the fringes didn't have enough to eat, and they came at night and stole from our farms. Children were frightened of the people from the fringes. I often visited Sophie, and we always had fun together. Her parents were friendly, but sometimes her father watched me with a strange look on his face. I think he was afraid I was going to reveal Sophie's secret. "I could tell him her secret is safe with me," I thought. "I don't want anything bad to happen to Sophie." One day, I got a small piece of wood in my hand, and it started to bleed. I wanted to bandage it, but I couldn't do it with only one hand. "I need three hands to do it," I said in frustration.
My father heard me, and he was furious.
"Aren't you satisfied with the two hands God gave you?" he said angrily. "Do you want to be a mutant, an offence?"
I tried to explain it was just an expression, but he wouldn't listen and punished me for my bad words. That night, I lay in bed with many questions in my head. I didn't do anything wrong. Why did Father punish me? I don't want a third hand, but is it so bad to say it, or even to think about it? What if I had a third hand, or a sixth toe like Sophie? Finally, I fell asleep, but I had a terrible dream. I saw my father holding a long knife. He was preparing to kill a mutant calf. But when I looked closer, I had a terrible shock. It wasn't a calf he was holding. It was Sophie.